And this is a story of Jesus that I think with a good parable, it's not like a fable where you just get the punchline or you understand, you know, what you're supposed to do as some sort of moral instruction. But rather than understand this parable, I think we stand under it. And so I've been standing under this parable for a long time. I didn't get it, and now it kind of gets me, and I think has a chance of getting our world and challenging not only who we are, but how we are. So let's go to God together and listen in Jesus' parable from Matthew chapter 20. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever's right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around and said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I give you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This parable, the heart of it is centered around rules. So see if you recognize these rules. After hitting the ball, the runner should run from home to first. If he or she runs from home to third, they will be declared out for running out of the baseline. Here's the complicated one that I still don't quite get. When there are less than two outs, a runner is on first and second, or first and second, or second and third. The fly ball is hitting the infield. The umpire shall declare infield fly and will be an automatic out. I'm not sure if that whole infield fly rule goes, but those are obviously the rules for baseball. And if you're going to have baseball, you got to have certain rules. Here's another one. At the start of the game, there's a coin toss to see which team gets the ball first. That team that has the ball is the offense. The other team is the defense. They have 4 plays or downs to cover 10 yards or more. A play ends when a player with the ball is either stopped or goes out of bounds. If the ball is thrown and missed, which is called an incomplete pass. At an incomplete pass, the referee shall run over to the receiver, waving his arms wildly, letting him know just how miserably he has failed. Those are the rules for football, right? Okay, there are rules for driving, and if you have had a driver in your house, I have been burdened by reading the book for the driver's rules for Tennessee, which I haven't done when Abby got her license because I found out things then that I didn't want to know. But according to the rules in Tennessee, that when you are going to drive, you have to first check the vehicle's condition, and here are the rules. Walk around the outside of the vehicle. Look for small children, pets, or any other sort of obstruction. Yes, that was disturbing enough. Check the condition of the windows, lights, body damage, condition of the tires, and potential fluid leaks. Then enter the vehicle, place the key in the ignition, and lock the doors. Identify the location and purpose of all switches, gauges, and pedals. Know the location of the following controls, even if there's no need to use them at the moment. The horn, turn signals, emergency four-way, flashers, headlights, on-off dimmer switch, windshield wipers, and washer controls, parking brake, and release lever, air conditioner, heater, defroster controls, gear shift location, and clutch if it's a manual transmission. Though hopefully you would have known that before you got in the car. Now, the point is that with all those rules, I decided, and there's more after that, but we have a very limited amount of time, I decided I would do all of those rules just to see before I went to a committee meeting at the church. And so I followed them all. And then when I got in the car and turned it on, I realized it was so late I had missed the meeting. That's the way that those rules are, though. Those rules are to help you drive and drive safely. So if you think about the rules in life, I did a little more exploring, and I have the choir, and the choir is going to help me. So choir, if you'll stand, I focus just on two words. The first word is keep. And so here are a lot of rules, and rules meaning that somebody's going to tell you that this is the way you ought to behave or what you ought to do in specific situations. So choir, help me out.
Keep in touch.
Keep it in mind.
Keep up the good work.
Keep on trying.
Keep out of my way.
Keep out of this.
Keep quiet.
Keep still.
Keep smiling.
Keep this to yourself.
Keep your chin up.
Keep your mouth shut.
Keep your nose out of my business.
Keep your shirt on.
Okay, good. Obviously, that was their way of saying talk now. So that was just all rules with the one word keep. So I thought about, well, what about the word do or don't? There's a lot of don'ts. The commandments are basically don'ts. So here are some don'ts.
Don't ask.
Don't tell.
Don't stay out too late.
Don't go.
Don't be gone too long.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me like that.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Don't get up.
Don't let it keep you down.
Don't hold your breath.
Don't breathe a word of this to anyone.
Don't give in.
Don't give up.
Don't speak so loud.
Don't speak too soon.
Don't be so naive.
Don't be so sure.
Don't even think about it.
Don't give it another thought.
Don't bother.
Don't bother me.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Don't put all that in your mouth.
Don't make me tell you that again.
Don't make me get up.
Don't. Don't you tell me what to do.
Okay, if you would like to, you can sit down. Otherwise, you can... Okay, those are just two words. And so I thought we would just play with that and see what that looks like. Another examination that I looked at is there are rules for a formal dinner. If you're going into a formal dinner, here are the rules. When you sit down, immediately put your napkin in your lap. Don't tuck it in your shirt or... shake it to unfold it. Just lay it gently. If you don't know the people seated on either side of you, introducing yourself. If the table is not too big, you should nod and say hello to others in your vicinity. If you need to blow your nose, a quick wipe is okay in an emergency, but if you're going to have a real honker, you need to step out of the room. I also found out at a formal dinner, I don't know if you know this or not, there are different rules for red wine or white wine. If it's white wine, you hold it by the stem. But if it's red wine, you hold it by the bowl. Do you know why? Right, it's about the temperature. White wine, you can keep it cooler by holding by the stem. Red wine, you keep... So there are rules for everything. Now we're getting into the place of work rules. When you have a job, like these guys in the text, there are expectations, there are agreements for what this work is going to look like. When the vineyard owner goes out and makes an agreement with the first guys, he agrees to pay them the usual daily wage. And the usual daily wage in Jesus' day was, if you went and you worked all day, you had enough that your family could eat. So, I mean, it's not the 401k benefits sort of situation. This is a third world country. When you are agreed, you can go home and your family is going to be able to eat because you have done what you were supposed to do today. You have earned enough money. That's work rules. Now, the work rules are if you go out and work really hard, then you get paid. And if you don't, then you don't. If you get out and work, there's a reward. And if you don't, you suffer with the lack of work. Those are work rules. There's also the understanding that if you are a very good worker and you work very hard, you can rise in the ranks. You can become, there is a hierarchy here. There's the owner, there's the manager, and then there's the daily workers. If you work hard enough and are trustworthy, you can rise to the top. Those are work rules. Boy Scouts understand that. If you work hard, you accomplish your merit badges, you get to be an Eagle Scout. Work results in reward and rank. And then there's a certain benefit that goes with being an Eagle Scout. You get to run the meetings. You get to do all those kind of things. And if you're a tenderfoot, well, that just implies where you stand in the hierarchy. Soldiers understand the same thing. There is a hierarchy. Work hard, you can get promoted. If you don't, you may get kicked out. Those are work rules. Business understands the same way. Work hard and you'll be rewarded. At least that's what we're taught. But there's also something different that kind of goes on here. Something that we want to pay attention to. Because we get this mindset in being taught in the schools that if you study hard, you get a good job. I mean, you go to a good college, you go on, you get a good job, and you'll be happy. But no matter how hard you work, sometimes it doesn't always go that way. So it's not necessarily a given that if you work hard, you'll be rewarded. Because there's a certain piece here that power resides in the person with the greatest wealth. The landowner sets the rules. The work is, there's a certain accepted amount for a day's wage. And if you work a full day, you get that wage. Here are the other ones. When he goes in at 7, he says, if you work for me, I will pay you what the market has set as the daily wage. To those at 9, he says, if you work with me, I will pay you what is fair. He doesn't tell them what it's going to be. He says, trust me, I will tell you. And then he goes again and again and again. So I think part of what it is to pay attention to is that money is about power and that power to choose. When the landowner gives out a day's pay to all the workers, those who are coming later said, wait a minute, you've changed the expected daily wage. We worked all day, so if you're going to pay them for 1 hour, then you should pay us 9-10 times that. That's fair. That's the way these rules work. But the landowner says, look, man, it's my money. Are you telling me I can't choose to do with my wealth what I want to do? So he's debating what's fair, but the power is in the wealth. Money is about choices. And what we do with our money, money just facilitates those choices. Poverty is not a lack of money, but a lack of the ability to be able to make choices. The group that I work with in Haiti, they're very smart, and I'm very proud to be a part of that. And they understand that when we hire a driver, that it's about the daily wage for the driver. You don't overpay it or you affect the market. But they also understand that to get people out of poverty, you don't just give them money, you have to give them power. And money is sometimes part of that. But to empower people to be able to make choices is where that work goes. So here, the landowner has the power. The landowner is clearly God in this story, and so what makes us a little bit nervous is that the landowner chooses to be generous. See, we are okay with somebody who is generous to us. We're okay with maybe getting more whether we deserved it or not. What bothers us is when somebody else gets something they didn't deserve when we think maybe we deserve more. That sense of competition, that sense of comparing ourselves to others, keeps us from the golden rule of Jesus, which is do unto others as you would have them do to you, and we become more of the golden rule that we know, he who has the gold makes the rules. There was a man who God sent an angel to him and said, hey, I am going to bless you, but just so you know, because he wasn't getting along with his neighbor, whatever you ask for, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to give your neighbor double. And so he said, well, I would like to have more children. So over time he does. He has 3 children. His neighbor has 6. Now he's happy with his 3 children, but he's a little bit bothered that the neighbor gets 6. He says, I want my business to grow. So he has a business, and there it is on the street, and it grows. And he has more than he ever thought possible, but his neighbor got double. And he is so angry about that, the angel comes, says, what's your final wish? And he is so angry that his neighbor has more, he says this, I want to be blind in one eye. Because Because if his neighbor gets doubled, then he won't be able to do the business or enjoy his children. And the angel says, I'm not going to give you that wish, for you have grieved God. For you, with both your eyes, could not see your neighbor. What's important in this story is to pay attention. Why are these guys out all day? When you go at 7, these guys are looking for work for the day. When you go back at 9, they haven't had anybody hire them. If you are waiting all day and wait even until 5 o'clock, hoping for 1 hour's work, that shows how hungry you are. They are so poor that they are willing to wait in the hot sun all day, hoping that they can get at least 1 hour's work so that they don't have to go home empty-handed. If you had everything you needed at home, you're not out there at 5 o'clock. So by giving them one day's wage, the landowner is giving them what they need in order to be able to eat one day. But because they are comparing and they think they deserve more, the others aren't thankful that they got a job where they could work all day and feed their families. They want to work all day and feed their families and have other people not. They're okay with the poverty of others because they are comparing. The golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you were in that situation where you had to wait all day hoping you could get just a little so that your family wouldn't starve that night, you would want somebody to give you enough for the day. That's the daily bread. See, God in this parable, we learn a couple of things. Ultimately, it's that God rules. It's not about the rules of work or baseball or whatever, or about even what we think is fair or not fair, because if we compare ourselves to others here, oh, that's not fair, you got this and I didn't get this. Whereas if we were to compare ourselves to others in the third world, well, we would not want to even fathom that. God is sovereign. I will do as I choose. This is not some relationship with God, whereas if we do the right rules, believe the right things, say the right things, go to church, God's going to give us what we want. God does as God chooses. But the good news of the gospel is that God doesn't go by work rules. It's not do well and be rewarded and do bad and be punished, but reward and punishment. It's not that God is mad and holds us over the fiery pit, as the John Edwards sermon says. It's that God's rules are like family rules. God loves because God chooses. What God does here is take care of those that God loves, and he sees their needs and calls us to do the same. But we also, like God, have power to choose. I was asked to explain or comment on justice, which is very hard at Presbytery, and because justice generally means reward and punishment. Those who've been bad need to be punished, and that's kind of what we're taught. And so this story came to head, and I thought, well, I would share it there, and I thought, well, I'll share it here as well, because it applies to this. God has chosen to love and given us the power to choose as well, and the distribution of wealth is not standard. There were boys who had picked up all the oranges from the last tree in town, and there were 3 boys, and they picked up 17 oranges. And so they couldn't figure out how to divide them equally, because one guy would get 5, one would get 6, and one would get 6, right? I had to check my math. And so they decided, okay, they were very frustrated because they weren't comfortable with being the one with 5. We want to be the one with 6. I'm okay if you got 5, but I don't want to have 5, I want to have 6. So they went to the local preacher and they said, hey, we need some help. We've got this argument. We can't get along. We picked up the last oranges in town. There's 5 and there's 6 and there's 6. And the preacher says, okay, well, I will settle this for you, but do you want me to use man's rules or God's rules? And they said, wait a minute. And so they talked about it. And they said, well, if we say man's rules, he may take 10 of them. So they came back and they said, we want God's rules. And so to one he gave 1, to one he gave 12, and to one he gave 4. Now that you have them, what will you choose to do? And it also raised the question for them. just how many daggum oranges do you need? Because come number three, that law of diminishing returns is going to kick in and you're going to get awfully ill. So they took what the preacher did and they went to town and they found other boys and they shared the oranges. See, that was their power to choose. God doesn't make the world fair, but God does empower you to choose. This is the story not of work rules, but of love rules. Because when you love and when you understand the other's needs, you help them do what they need to do so that they can have their daily bread. Economics, based on the golden rule, is if you were born in the poorest family, how would you want the world to be with you so that you could achieve all that God means for you to achieve? Those are love rules. It is a different standard. But that's the way God works. That's the way God's power works, and that's the power that God gives us. So learn from the landowner, and may we do likewise. Let us pray. God, we would be people of different rules. We would be people who look at others and who understand, but also claim our power. And in doing so, find your kingdom all around us. For that is why we have come. That's why we have gathered, and that's why we pray as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God forever. Amen.